Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
Good to see everybody here this morning. If it is your first time here, my name's Jason and I'm the pastor here. Excited to have you with us and fired up about a whole lot of things that are going on. I also want to look online for everyone that may be watching online. Maybe like Pam and you've been watching for a long time. Maybe you've just been watching for a few weeks. Hey, we want you to know, go at your pace, whatever you want to do. But if you're kicking the tires a little bit, we can't wait to meet you one day. Can we give it up for everybody watching online, people out of town, all over? Love all of you. Look forward to meeting you one day. So, man, I'm excited. For you guys that do not know, we started Saturday night services last night. And a lot of people were asking me how'd that go last night. It was awesome. The house was packed. It did two things, okay? Room was full. We had to open the doors like we do today, going out there. And at the same time, and here's the other part, too. That was awesome. We had a little over 600 people come to the service last night. Isn't that awesome? Come on, we give the Lord a hand for that. And here's the other thing. Everybody's in the room in this service. This is the first service the whole year that everyone's in the room. And so it created, so enjoy it while you can, all right? So it's awesome, though, what God's doing. Fired up about everything. Hey, if you have your Bible, if you'd open up to John chapter 1 and Matthew 11, I do want to give a shout out this weekend. I'm going to call this group the MVPs of the weekend, okay? Let me tell you who the MVP of the weekends is. We had several, many people that they knew we needed to make sure we served on Saturday night, that we could have the appropriate volunteers in place to help take care of kids and all that. And I know many that went and served last night and then came to church this morning at the same time. And so they were willing to sacrifice to make room, and hundreds of new people came because of that. Can we give it up for our MVPs? Thank you if you're the ones who did that. We really, really thank you for that. We're in a relationship series. It's third part. We're going to do one more, and then we'll go into a new series for the month of March leading into Easter. Super been fun, this series. Learned a lot. A lot of people taking a lot from it. The first week, we talked about how you need people. We all need people. And then last week, we talked about communicating for a change. Try to put some tools in the tool belt so that you can communicate and learn how to communicate well. Well, I'm going to do another subject today. The subject today that we're talking about, everybody in here has gone through. Everyone in here may be going through. And I can promise you, every single one of us will go through it many more times in our life. So it is going to come and knock on all of your doorsteps at some point, already has, it will a whole lot more. And I entitled the message today, third part of relationship series is this, I am offended. I am offended. So we're gonna talk about offense, all right? We're gonna talk about offense, how we're all gonna have to deal with offense throughout our life. Everybody's offended nowadays, isn't that right? Everybody gets offended about everything. It doesn't matter what you do. People get offended. You say something, this group's mad. You don't say enough, this group's mad, right? You post something online, they're mad, everybody's mad. Super Bowl was last weekend, everybody mad. Everybody's mad, everybody's offended, everybody's upset. Everybody gets all upset about different things. About a year or two ago, I'd say, I was talking to a couple in the church and my wife and I that we're friends with, and I said something about, like, on my days off, I like to take a nap. And after Sunday, come on, ain't nothing like a Sunday nap. Anybody say amen in the house of God? All right. And so this person bought me a shirt and it said, Jesus takes naps. Be like Jesus. I love that shirt. And so I took a picture of that shirt and I posted it online. Sure enough, folk were mad. Naps. Jesus healed people. Jesus saved people. Jesus performed miracles. You should be more like Jesus. And I was like, well, he took naps too. And I'm going to be like Jesus. That's what I'm doing. People mad over all kinds of stuff. People get offended over all kinds. Matter of fact, I come here to you today offended. I'm offended. There's a couple of things offended. Last night, God does this to me, y'all. Anytime I'm going to preach on something, he like makes me go through it. Right before. Last night, we have a great service. We got my daughter and I, my youngest daughter, Elise and I, we go out to eat. We go, she has to stop and get a few things. And so we go into Walmart. As I'm walking into Walmart, a guy walks up to me, Pastor. I was like, oh, hey, how you doing? He goes, hey, Pastor. Is that his name? And he said, hey, I just want you to know that I've been to your church, but I don't go anymore. I don't want to go there no more. He goes, I'm not mad at you. I mean, you're great, but I'm just not going to go anymore. Hey, it's good seeing you, Pastor. It left. That was the whole thing. Like, and I laughed. I said, Jesus, I see what you just did. I see what you just did, Jesus. I did. So, brother, if you're watching online, God bless you. God bless you. But that's not the only reason I'm offended today. I'm offended because, look, someone in our church, they came up to me a couple weeks ago and made me a homemade cheesecake. Don't worry, I'm not offended by that at all. But don't bring me any, please. I took it, I brought it home and said, hey, so-and-so made us a homemade cheesecake, and she took it and she put it in the freezer. And she said, we're not having a piece for 75 days. See, she's doing the 75 hard thing. Anybody know what that is? It's like you work out for 75 days and you don't eat all that stuff and all that. And so there's two people in the house going through 75 hard, my wife and me. It's hard for her because she is working out. It's hard for me because there's cheesecake in my freezer right now and I can't do anything about it. I'm offended. I'm upset about it. But anyway, here's the deal. We're all going to face offense. We're all going to have to learn how to deal with offense. But hey, let's not act all holy and righteous, me included, like an angel here. Let's just be real. We're going to offend. We may not mean to, but we're going to offend. And so I want to talk to you today a little bit about offense. We're going to look in scripture and we want to look in and see. And let me tell you what I want to do. I want to show you what the enemy's up to, what he's trying to do. There's a bigger picture than just somebody hurting your feelings. I'll show you what he's doing. Now I want to show you the process of how offense works. And then I'm going to talk to you how to deal with it, okay? Super practical. You like to take notes. This is going to help you a lot, okay? First, I want to talk to you about what's really going on. Not the person, not just the offense, but what's really happened. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, it says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Do you know the devil has a scheme? He has a plan. He has something he's trying to do. There's three things that we see he's trying. One, we see the enemy's goal. I want to show you this. The enemy's goal is destruction. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy. That's what he's after, okay? So what's his plan to accomplish his goal? His plan is division. What's division? Division, the word die, D-I, that is the word two. It's two, so there's two visions. So he wants to destroy, and his plan is to bring division, to bring destruction. What is his tactic? His tactic is offense. So now let's see how that works. If I can offend them, if I can offend that relationship, then guess what? It'll start to do this. It'll start to divide. And once I can get it divided, then I can destroy the relationship. That's what he's after. That's what he's going on in our life. And that's what he's trying to do. So I want to show you that's his plan. Now let's look in scripture in John chapter 1. And Matthew chapter 11 is going to be our portion of scripture here. Now, this is really interesting what I'm about to show you. Maybe some of you have never even seen this in reading in scripture and learning. And maybe you're new and you're just learning all this stuff. We're excited to have you along on the journey. This story is about John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist, Jesus actually said, a pretty big compliment about John the Baptist. Jesus said that no one is like this man. No one's come before. No one's going to come after. John the Baptist was awesome. John the Baptist had an anointing that to prepare the way for the Christ to come in. And here's a moment, this grand, awesome moment. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to show you something. We're talking about offense. Starting at verse 29 in John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." God. How dramatic. Like Hollywood moment there. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John the Baptist, the whole reason I'm put on this earth is to help usher in the Messiah, the Son of God. And then I saw the Spirit come down like a dove on Jesus. And I said, "Behold, the Son of God." Big deal. That's powerful. That's awesome. Look, imagine being the person that had to baptize Jesus. That's a high compliment, huh? "I baptize you now in the name of the Father and of you and the Holy Spirit." Yeah, I mean, how does that work, right? I mean, so it's just different. So here we are, man, powerful moment, Son of God. Something happened. Matthew 11, the next part that we're gonna go into scripture. A lot happens after Jesus is now the Spirit of God comes upon him. The Holy Spirit comes upon him, he's baptized. Now he's going and disciples are beginning to follow him. Matter of fact, there's an important part in scripture where some disciples of John the Baptist start to go towards Jesus. And John's asked about it, and John actually says, "I must decrease and he must increase." We see miracles taking place. Jesus is doing some awesome things, and all these things that are happening, in the middle of all that, John the Baptist is thrown in jail. Now, while he is in jail, after all this has gone on, he sends a couple of disciples to Jesus. And this is the account of that. Verse 2. "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and they said to Jesus, 'Are you the coming one, or is it somebody else?'" Same guy. The Christ, the Son of the living God. He comes to baptize you. The Son of God, the Spirit of God came down upon him like a dove. "Are you the dude? Or is there somebody else?" What happened? Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." And watch what Jesus says. "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Don't think offense isn't powerful. Offense took the man, the prophet John the Baptist, and made him question if Jesus was the Son of God. All because of offense. Now let me take it from here, and I want to begin to break down how offense works. I'm gonna give you the process of offense, and then I'm gonna tell us how to deal with it, okay? Let's just walk through it for a moment. The first thing is the actual offense, like the act. Like somebody said something stupid to you, right? Somebody said something they shouldn't have said at the wrong time when they shouldn't have said it. You're looking on social media and you're scrolling and you see, oh, a bunch of people got together and they didn't invite you. Oh, come on, we've all been there, right? Well, I would have liked to gone. And we say, now I'm offended by it, okay? Somebody said something, somebody did something. It's like, now the actual offense takes curse. And then after the offense, the second part comes in, and it's, I went from the offense to now I'm offended. There's two different things. The offense is the act. Offended is now, it impacted me. Like I'm actually holding on to, I'm offended now. It took root. And now I have something against that person. Now it moves into the next one. It's getting a little uglier each time. The next one is when resentment starts to come in. Now, resentment is ugly. It's settled in. Now, this is what happened. An offense comes. It grabs me. And now I have something against this person, and now resentment is building. This is what's happening. I'm starting to build a case. Anytime something happens, huh? Yep. Oh, put that there. Yep, put that there. And I'm slowly now building a case towards this person. I have resentment in my heart. I'm like, oh, yeah, I see where this is. They're manipulating. Look how they are. I see what's going on. And then it starts to get real ugly. It turns into this thing called bitterness. You ever met anyone bitter? They are no fun to be around. Bitter people. Bitter people are the kind of people that's like, man, it doesn't matter what you say nice. They're like, no, they say what's wrong with it. Man, I heard you won the lottery. Yeah, but the taxes. Brother, I'll take it. And he said, I mean, there's something always wrong, something bitter. Bitterness is bad because here's the deal with bitterness. Watch. That other person or whatever, they can't do anything right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how good intentioned they are. They had an offense. They're offended. They've been building a case, and now bitterness comes in there. And so they come up to you, and they say, hey, you look really nice today. Like, what do you mean by that? Was saying I was ugly yesterday? I'm going to be ugly tomorrow? Never mind. I was just telling you. I just thought you looked nice. That's all I was saying. Come on. Bitterness is in their heart, and then it breeds this last part, hatred. Hatred. Now, hatred, when we think of hate, we often think of hate in different ways. This is the way I'd like to define it, is this. You are hoping something bad happens to them. I want something bad. On the outside, you'll say this, oh, that's terrible. But on the inside, you're like, I'm glad that happened. And you're actually rejoicing on the inside. Ooh, that's kind of gross. This is stuff we all have to deal with. We all have to deal with this. And if we don't deal with it, it'll get down to that root of hatred in our heart. And you know what the Bible says about hatred? If you have hatred in your heart towards a brother, it's the same as murder. Whew, I don't want to go that far. But here's the deal. Many of us, if we're just honest, some of you today, you're on this list. Maybe you're watching online and maybe the reason you're watching online is because there's something on this list. And you know what? It's the enemy. He brought offense to you. Why? He's trying to divide you from his church. Why? So he can destroy you on your own. Oh, you don't need church to be a Christian. No, you don't, but it helps. Helps a whole lot. You know, it's important. And I'm not just talking about church. Maybe you're in here, and when you look at that list, you're on there. Here's the deal. We're all on there at some level. Offense. Brother come up to me last night. Hey, I'm not going to your church. Okay, cool. God bless you. We all have it, but what do we do with it now? Maybe you're here and even resentment has settled in. You've been building a case. Maybe even bitterness. And maybe there's some hatred in some hearts. And I want, before you leave here today, I want to help you be free of that and how to move forward. And if we're all going to deal with it, then how do we navigate this together? So let's jump in. How do I deal with offense? I want to give you four things to try to help us deal with offense. The first one is this. We need to be offended by offense. Come on, let's be offended by offense. What are you talking about, Pastor, when you say that? I want predetermined that we're not going to let offense win in our life. I'm not letting you win. No, I'm not going to let it take root. I'm not going to let it get in there. Yes, it's going to come. Things are going to happen. I know that's going to, but when it's all said and done, no, I'm going to let it go. I'm not dealing with offense in my life. I bought my son for Christmas a little ping pong thing. And we play a little ping pong on the table. And this is how it went. We'd play a game. And if I won, then we were done. Game was over. If he won, then we're like, all right, best 2 out of 3. If he wins again, best 3 out of 5. Come on, we just kept going, and we're going to keep going until we win. And I want you to walk out of here when it comes to living a life that I'm a person that's offended, that's bitter, like, nope, I'm not doing it. I don't have to do it. I see what's happening. It's the devil's schemes. He's offending to divide so that he can destroy. I'm going to live a life not offended. Ephesians 6:12 says this. This will help you. I want you to grasp this revelation. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You can live a life where you do not let offense get deep in your spirit when you start to realize it's not that person, but it's the spirit behind that person that influenced them that gave the offense. Did you catch that? It's the spirit behind it that influenced that person that now has offended you. And so you don't go back at the offender. You go back at the spirit behind that. What am I talking about? In our country, oh, we have this kind of people and these kind of people, and they think this and they think this, and this one's evil and that one's evil. No. Watch this. The spirit behind all of it's evil. There's a dividing spirit in our country that's trying to, look, this is what we're talking about. If I can offend the country, I can divide it. I can destroy it. It's the devil's plan. But we come against that dividing spirit in the name of Jesus. And we say, shut your mouth in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that unity would come into this place in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hey, the spirit of perversion that's over a whole generation of people that are being exposed to things way before they're supposed to. I come against that spirit and I do the things I need to do practically around my kids, but I come against that in Jesus' name. There's a spirit trying to destroy this house and try to destroy our house, our nation, our country, our world. There's something to say, hey, you know what? I'm offended by it. I am offended that there's people that won't go through a church today because somebody offended them and now they won't let it go. And so now the enemy's got them. Oh, no. Now we come against that in Jesus' name. Bring your prodigals home in Jesus' name. Amen? Say, no, we will fight that. We will fight that for one another. We will fight for relationship with one another. Say, no, we're offended by offense. The second thing that we do as we're learning in this process, we let it go. Come on, spirit of frozen in the church. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Here's the deal. Deal is this. Just, okay, offense comes. Nope, I'm not going to allow offense to take root in my life. And this was you. If you can, let it go. By the way, if I talked to every person that said something dumb to me, that'd be my full-time job. That's all I'd ever do, is talk to people. A lot of things, just let it go. My brother last night, just let it go. A couple weeks ago, it was in between 9:30 and 11:50, a guy came up to me and he goes, hey, Pastor, so kind of give me the overall version of the message this morning. And I was like, oh, okay, he's coming in. And said, so you must be coming in for next service and you're kind of curious about what it's all about. He goes, no, I'm leaving. I fell asleep during service. I said, thank you. May I have another one? I mean, just... And so what did you do, Pastor? I said, in the name of Jesus. No, I didn't. I didn't do that. I told him about the message. I said, here's the message. This is what happened. And I hope you leave here refreshed. What you going to do, right? Just let it go. Just let it go. Most things, man, look, people don't know what to do. Just let it go. Just let it go. Don't make a big deal. If everything gets to you, whew, man, it's going to be hard to walk this life with any peace in your heart. And let it go. You know why? Jesus let it go. He let it go. Jesus hanging on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Colossians 3:13 says this, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive, now here's the standard, as the Lord forgave you. Now, scripture says this, if you will not forgive your brother or sister, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Let me tell you why that's important. Maybe some of you, let me move it. I'm very, very gently as your pastor that loves you. If you're here and you're like, man, I try to talk and I don't feel like I can connect with God. I don't feel like he's listening. I don't feel like anything. If it just feels like there's a block there, the first thing I would ask you, is there unforgiveness in your heart? I don't feel like I can get to God. Maybe you can't because you're not forgiving somebody next to you. Doesn't mean you have to invite them back into your life. That's not what I'm saying. But God, I let them go. All right, so now we got to get into something else. We got to address this. So I'm not going to live my life offended. Most things I'm just going to let it go. But here's the deal. There's certain things, let's just be honest, they take a little bit more root. It's a little bit harder, a little more difficult. Like, this wasn't as easy as you're talking about, Pastor Jay. So what do I do when it's starting to settle in and I'm feeling that resentment and I'm starting, what do I do with it? This is the third step. Deal with it. Deal with it. We deal with it. There was this quote that says this, time heals all wounds. Lie. It's a lie. It's a total, because you know what time does? It just makes the wound more gross and nasty and worse. You ever talk to somebody and something happens, or you say something and their reaction is much greater than the situation that just happened? You're just talking, all of a sudden, and you're like, whoa, 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 I just ordered cheese on my burger. What happened? And they're like, can I tell you what happened? They have a wound deep down, and you hit it. And now they brought it on, and it came on you and me. And so what do we have to deal with them in us? Most of us right here, if we're honest, right here is where most people don't want to do anything. This is where our younger generation, they call, we just ghost folk. We don't want to deal, we just ghost them. Come on, and we spend the rest of our life ghosting and avoiding. We're going to HEB and we're going down aisle 3 and we see them. We're like, oh, never mind, I don't want that right now. I thought you would need some cheese. I would need it in 15 minutes from now. That's when we need it. Why? Because that person, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see this. I don't want to deal with it. Let me tell you what the Bible says about it. Oh, he Jesus doesn't play when it comes to this. He's like, boom. Look, this is what he says. Matthew 5. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, that gift, leave it there. You come to church and you go to worship and I'm going to give and I'm going to serve. Jesus says, hold up, leave it there. Go find the brother or sister, get it right with them. After you get it right with them, then you can come back and worship. Whew. But Jesus ain't playing when it comes to this. This is serious. Okay, Pastor, so what do I actually do? How do I actually have the conversation? How do we deal with these things? Guess what the Bible tells us about that as well? Matthew 18. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. This is so critical. Go talk to that person. If there's a person if you can, go talk to them. If it's unhealthy, messy situation, you know what might be good? Maybe you ought to just write a letter. Maybe you ought to write, maybe some of us, we're carrying offense with someone who isn't even with us anymore. I'm not talking about move, like they've passed on in life. And I know some people, it's been good to write a letter to them. Tell them what happened, releasing, forgiving, like find a way to deal with it. Find a way to get it out. And here, if it's someone maybe in this church or somebody around you, you know what I found? That thing that we avoided, if we deal with it and we go have a conversation with them, 9 times out of 10, they weren't trying to hurt us. And I wasn't trying to hurt them. 9 times out of 10. Now there's that 1 out of 10. That's usually how it goes. And you can start getting in a conversation. Oh, I thought you were going to say this. And I thought this was going to happen. Oh, it's like that. And guess what happened? The very thing that the enemy looked to divide, now that you deal with it, guess what God does? And he brings it together. He brings unity together. And do you know what God says about unity? Where there's unity, Scripture says, he commands a blessing. Hey, blessing. No, this isn't up for discussion. You go bless those people. You go bless that person. Why? Because there's unity there. Wow. So we have to deal with it. Pastor, how do I walk through all the different things? Hey, listen to my last week's message. Listen to understand. Speak to be understood. Be honest. Be open for feedback. They're going to say something back to you. And the goal is reconciliation. That's what we're after. This is how we deal with it. How do I deal with offense? Be offended by offense. Let it go. Deal with it. And then the final one, as we end, is this. Pastor, what if it is the 1 out of 10? How do I deal with offense? What do I do when I'm trying to get it right and it doesn't matter? It goes off the rails every time. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. Let me tell you what you do. You give it to God and then draw some healthy boundaries. Do all that you can to be right before God. I did everything I was supposed to do. So when I stand before Jesus, I can look at Jesus and say, I did everything I needed to do, Jesus. And then give it to him. And then draw some healthy boundaries. What healthy boundaries? That's why small groups are so good. Sometimes we need help with getting healthy boundaries. Some of us here, we have too many expectations on someone. And we end up disappointed because we keep our expectations high. In some relationships, you guys, just take your expectations away. They're not going to be able to fulfill that, and that's okay. There's a great book that was recommended to me about this subject, and it's called, I want to make sure you get this, called Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. If you feel like if you're in this boat and you're trying to figure out how to forgive, this book, Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall, will help. Also, Beta Satan by John Bevere is a great, great book talking about how to deal with offense in our life. Some things in this book that it'll say, it says like this, you have to relinquish the right to be right. And say, hey, I need to get it right. Hey, by the way, it's not about what's right, who's right. It's not about who's right. It's about what's right. Come on, that'll help a lot of you right there. Hey, let me get my emotions out of it. It's not about winning. Like, what's right? What's right here? I'm going to end with a story. It would be very easy for me to give you a story. I'm trying to help make this make sense. I'm going to pray for people in these areas in just a moment. It would be very easy for me to share a story about how I was offended and what I did to walk through it to get out of that offense, but I'm going to make myself even more vulnerable. I want to tell you about a time that I offended and I needed to get it right. So I guess about 9 years ago now, we're getting ready to move to come plant the church. And years before that, I was the youth pastor and there was this couple that was coming, getting married, and there was just, we tried to come together about a few things. I had to talk to them about a few things, and it just didn't go well. They went one direction, I went another, and it just didn't go well. And so, I mean, I look back at it, and even to this day, I'm like, I didn't really do anything wrong. I don't think I did. You know, they're probably thinking the same thing. You know, I didn't really do anything wrong. It just wasn't happening. And I mean, so it didn't go in the good direction. And next thing you know, they take my phone number off. I take their phone number off. I wasn't mad at them. It was just over, right? And so we were getting ready to start the church. So this is years later. We're getting ready to move. And as I'm in my time just spending with the Lord praying, I'm just feeling like, Jason, call them. Go get it right before you leave. Go get it right before you leave. And I was like, I hadn't seen them in years. I'm sure they don't even think about this anymore, probably, God. Go get it right. So I didn't have their number anymore, right? They didn't have mine. So I had to go online and kind of find a way around and DM them and said, hey, would you meet up with me? And they were nervous at first. I said, I just simply want to talk to you. It won't take long. They had moved, so they lived an hour away. So I had to get in the car and drive an hour away. You gonna drive an hour away? Yes. Because the Lord told me I gotta get this right. Sat down in them a little old middle of nowhere podunk town coffee shop. And I looked across from him and I just said, hey, I need to ask you, would you please forgive me? I hurt you. I can promise you this. I never tried to. I never meant to hurt you. I didn't think all this would turn into hurting you, but it did. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? These two fell apart. Just started crying. And begin to share their story of what that hurt had caused them to do and not do over the next several years and the challenges that it brought about. And I looked at him and I said, I never wanted to do that. I never would have wanted to cause that in your life. And I'm sorry. And you know what? We talked for 2 hours, prayed with each other, hugged each other. And can I say this? We've not talked since. I mean, I did all I knew to do. I think we're good. I think we're fine. I think if I called him now, it'd be fine. But I saw something. Can I tell you what I saw? They were locked up. And me asking them to forgive me, it set them free. Now they can be healed. Now they can walk in healing. Some of us in here, we're not walking in healing because we're still locked up. I didn't do this in the other services, but I'll just say this. Maybe there's someone that's deceased and they hurt you. I feel this strong in my spirit right now. I want to stand on behalf of maybe a dad and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I wasn't there for you. Maybe I want to stand on behalf of a parent that said, I said some things to you. And it was out of my own insecurities, out of my own hurt, and it's locked you up and it's caused you to have to deal with insecurities that you should have never had to deal with. I'm so sorry that I did that to you. I just, even now as I'm talking, I'm praying, I just feel the Spirit of God. There's a spirit, God wants to begin to heal deep, deep, deep wounds that's been there for a long time. Maybe there's somebody were in a relationship with, and truth is they've not done well. They've been ravaged with all kinds of stuff, and there's internal destruction that's happened in their own personal life, and they don't have it in them. They have too much pride in them. They can't say they're sorry. I just pray in the name of Jesus right now, you'd be released from that hurt.